The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. It is the Savage Nation. If I sound a little odd today, I am a little odd today. The left side of my face is completely swollen from a visit to the dentist. Thank God I have a good one, but, you know, 4, 5, 6 injections. So I look like Al Pacino after the cop bashed him in the teeth in Godfather 1. And I'm going to try to speak out of the right side of my mouth. And my brain is still functioning quite well. For example, my lead story today is, where are the staph infections coming from? Now, we hear a lot about deaths from deadly drug-resistant staph may surpass AIDS deaths. We've all heard that. And yet, when you listen to the good doctors, none of them seem to know why this is happening. It seems that they have a collective memory loss. They can no longer think or reason, because if they do think or reason, it leads them to only one conclusion, and that conclusion flies in the face of the political correctness that has now taken hold of the entire medical profession, and the CDC, which was once a great institution, is now owned lock, stock, and barrel by so-called progressives. In other words, science is no longer science. Medicine is no longer medicine. They have all been politicized. So I thought that I would use my training in epidemiology. I am a PhD, earned PhD, in epidemiology and human nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978. Thank you. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read you a paragraph I posted on michaelsavage.com. And it's quite simple, not stupid, but simple, and elegant, and concise, which is the mark of intelligent writing. When you see pages and pages, you know the person doesn't know what they're talking about. When you see a pretty elegant short statement, you can analyze it and test it for its truth. In fact, the mark of science, of scientific statement, is, can it be tested and proven, can it be potentially proven wrong? That's the test of a scientific statement. Can it be potentially proven wrong? Okay? So I ask the question, where are the staph infections coming from? Here is my theory. We are told this is a new strain of staph. But the good doctors are either ignorant of epidemiology or afraid to tell you the truth. Let us reason together. New drug-resistant strains of bacteria are appearing in our hospitals over the past 10 years. Some are the result of overuse of antibiotics, but others are being brought into emergency rooms by the millions of illegal aliens who use our hospitals for primary care. Doctors, nurses, and others then spread these germs throughout the hospital. And of course, when illegals visit their relatives in the wards, they also spread the gift that keeps on giving, drug-resistant staph infections. This is my own theory. I have an earned PhD in epidemiology and human nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley, 1978, signed Michael Savage. Now, what you have to do is test the theory. It won't be tested for one reason. You can't get funding to test such a theory. Because to get such funding, you have to go to the very same people who are claiming to be ignorant of the cause of these drug-resistant staph infections. Therefore, we're living in medieval times all over again. The West is so paralyzed that we're moving backwards in terms of science rather than forwards. So there's my theory, and I really don't want to ask you yours, truthfully, because I'm not interested in your theory. I'm just telling you my theory. What's the point of arguing over this? The illegal aliens are bringing the staph infections, that is the drug-resistant bacteria, with them. These strains are endemic in Mexico. They are endemic in China. They are endemic in Africa. And they are bringing them into our emergency rooms. They're bringing them into the hospitals as they visit their relatives. Get it? Well, I hope you don't get it, because if you do, you'll have a drug-resistant strain of staph. Topic 2 on the right side of the michaelsavage.com website, if you care to peruse that and analyze it, is an astonishing theory by Mr. Watson, one of the men who deciphered the core of the DNA structure back when I was a kid in biology. And I'm talking a long time ago, biology undergrad. He's one of the world's most eminent scientists. He's a DNA pioneer, and he says that Africans are less intelligent than Westerners. Now, I'm going to just read you what he said, and you'll see for yourself what has happened as a result. He says, all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really, close quote. That's not me, that's him. Next, he says, here's the article, it's really well written, and if you want to read it on my website and get mad at him, not me. He says, and who is he? James Watson. Remember Watson and Crick? Many of you don't know who that is. You know who Paris Hilton and the others who puke on themselves are, but you don't know a scientist. You couldn't tell a scientist from a whore. That's the state of education today, because it's all owned by a group of the greediest, most insane people in the history of the world who own the media right now, keeping your mind focused on panties rather than theories. James Watson, a Nobel Prize winner for his part in the unraveling of DNA, who now runs one of America's leading scientific research institutions, drew widespread condemnation for comments he made ahead of his arrival in Britain today for a speaking tour, including the Science Museum in London. The 79-year-old geneticist reopened the explosive debate about race and science in a newspaper interview in which he said Western policies towards African countries were wrongly based on an assumption that black people were as clever as their white counterparts, when testing suggested the contrary. He claimed genes responsible for creating differences in human intelligence could be found within a decade. Now, what has happened as a result of this is the newly formed Equality and Human Rights Commission. Equality. Now, we mean forced equality. You understand what that is, don't you? Said it was studying Dr. Watson's remarks in full. Dr. Watson told the Sunday Times that he was inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa because, quote, all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really. He said there was a natural desire that all human beings should be equal, but, quote, people who have to deal with black employees find this is not true, close quote. Again, that's him. He has a book published next week in which he writes, there is no firm reason to anticipate that the intellectual capacities of peoples geographically separated in their evolution should prove to have evolved identically. Our wanting to reserve equal powers of reason as some universal heritage of humanity will not be enough to make it so, close quote. Now, he has arrived in Britain on a speaking tour to publicize his latest book, Avoid Boring People, Lessons from a Life in Science. So there it is. There it is. American scientist, as you well know, was working in the University of Cambridge in the 1950s. He formed part of the team which discovered the structure of DNA. He shared the 1962 Nobel Prize for Medicine with his British colleague, Francis Crick, a New Zealand-born Maurice Wilkins. This is when the Nobel Prize was sort of apolitical. Apolitical. There it is. You want to talk about that? Go ahead and talk about it. 1-800-449-8255. Truthfully, the big story for me is not Watson's statements, although it's an interesting theory that he proposes. It's where are the staph infections coming from? We have a soundbite from one of the CDC mean-faced, clipped-haired women who now run the entire agency, who tell us nothing that we need to know about staph infections other than wash your hands. I couldn't believe it. I am listening to trained doctors saying that the best thing you could do is wash your hands. It's like we've evolved back to the 17th century. We're in the pre-Lister phase of medicine in the United States of America because the doctors either don't know any better or they're politically hampered in what they know to be true and can't say it. You understand what I'm saying to you? These organisms are endemic in Mexico, which is a filthy country. Mexico is a filthy toilet bowl of a nation. which is why every time Americans go there and eat a salad, they come back with Turista. You want me to be blunt with you? I'll be blunt with you. It's a show for adults. I don't have to put roses around my words. That is why even liberals from the Upper East Side of New York who love and embrace diversity get Turista when they go to Mexico. You see, bacteria do not discriminate. They don't say, well, she's a good liberal from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I'm not going to infect her bowel. I will only give it to the evil conservative. See, the bacteria is quite democratic when you think about it, as are the viruses that the immigrants are bringing in. And they do affect liberals as well, even those in Austin, Texas, San Francisco, and the Upper East Side of New York, by the way. So there it is. There's the story. Let's take a caller or two right now on the Savage Nation. Mark, Los Angeles, 830 on the dial. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
What I want to know, Mike, is did the methodology that you used in your study of plant life and organisms, and i.e. your breaking down of looking at the parts to understand the whole and the organization of the, of those areas, is that what led to your thinking that you used in looking at the political landscape, or was it the other way around?
That's a great question. Which came first, the politics or the egg? I don't have an answer to that. I do know that I've always been curious as to how things worked. In fact, I'm having memories as I get older of my childhood, and I remember taking things apart. Sometimes I couldn't put them back together again, and I get yelled at. I always took watches apart, toy train. I took all my toys apart and couldn't put them together sometimes because I knew how to take them apart. I was very careful in unscrewing them, but I couldn't remember where all the parts went. So I always had a desire to get to the bottom of things. I would say, though, that deductive and inductive reasoning, that is Aristotelian logic, as I was forced to learn in my early years of scientific reasoning, does have a great role to play in political analysis, and the conclusions are strictly my own. However, if I come to a conclusion in a political discussion, I don't know that you can potentially disprove what I said in a scientific experiment. Whereas, as I said to you earlier, I once asked a professor of mine, what is a scientific statement? And he said a scientific statement is a statement that can be potentially disproven, meaning you can put it forward as a theory and as a theorem. You develop experiments to prove or disprove it. You see what I'm saying? And find out whether it's true or false. The problem is, in politics, it's almost impossible to construct an experiment to prove or disprove a theory. So if I propose the theory, based upon evidence that I've seen that liberalism is a mental disorder, beginning with what's happened to the Centers for Disease Control, beginning with the fact that we have outbreaks of diseases that were once wiped out in the United States of America, and I tell you it's related to the large influx, millions of illegal aliens, it makes common sense to me that it's a theory worth testing. However, in order to do such a grand experiment, you need money to test it, to do such an epidemiological study. And the government controls the purse strings to such a study. The CDC is the most politicized branch of the U.S. government. It's owned mainly by the AIDS racketeers. And there's not a chance in Hades of getting a dime for that kind of study. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but I've tried the best I can. Now, I hope I don't take apart too many questions today without putting them back together again. But Humpty will be right back, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So, we have two theories in play right now in the Savage Nation. One is my own, and you can test it if you like, which is that the killer strains of staph are a result of the overwhelming invasion by illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico, where these strains are endemic, as well as from China. Make no mistake about it, China is also a nation in great transition medically, and many of the illegal aliens from China are bringing diseases that were once wiped out in this country, and Africa. Many diseases that are now in Africa were wiped out in America, but the strains of organisms are being brought in by the illegal and legal illegal aliens from these nations. And they use hospitals, our hospitals, as primary care centers. The other theory is from the DNA pioneer James Watson, Nobel Prize winner, who says Africans are less intelligent than Westerners. And he says all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really. I realize that's a controversial theory, and Brian in Los Angeles is first to challenge it. Go ahead, Brian. Brian, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I'm from Jewish Heritage, and this Watson guy completely outrages me because this type of ideology is the same one that Hitler had in World War II, and it's the underestimation of...
Wait, hold on. Sir, let's slow down. Your heritage has nothing to do with the statements that Watson are making, so why are you injecting your religion or heritage into this particular discussion? Why don't you analyze the science and argue with it from a scientific point rather than from an emotional point of view?
Okay, well, this evolution theory is based on a faulty presumption as it is. I disagree with macroevolution. I don't disagree with microevolution. And there needs to be a distinction between that two. To say that we evolved from a rock is something that is...
Well, now you're changing the... We're not going back to where we evolved from. We are talking about existing races on the planet. And he is talking about the implications of a racial divide in intelligence. Are you arguing that all races are equally intelligent?
I'm arguing that this assumption that they're less intelligent would be faulty because of...
Let's start with the bigger premise. Are you arguing that all races are equally intelligent? I think that's what you're saying. And you're saying that all races have equal powers of reason. Isn't that what you're arguing?
Absolutely.
Yes? You said absolutely. Okay, so let me ask you something. Why is it that the Japanese tend to do better in testing than some other races? How do you explain that some immigrant groups come into this country, such as the people from India, and within a very short period of time, their children are winning spelling bees, while other racial groups can't seem to get out of the starting gate? How do you explain that?
Simple matter of discipline. I'm a student at University of Redlands. You rarely ever see the Asian people around. Why? Because they're always in the library. Same with...
Simply a matter of, did you say discipline?
Discipline mm-hmm. yourself.
Now, what is discipline related to? Could it also be related to intelligence? That you have the smarts to be disciplined or not?
Savage.
This is history repeating itself. There are theories as to why the Aztec people were wiped out, one of which is as a result of infections brought in by European conquistadors. It seems to me that this is history being repeated sort of in reverse, where those conquered by the conquistadors are now going to infect us and wipe us out. The people know this intuitively, which is why the states are trying to do what the pimps in the federal government won't do. And I use that phrase not for shock value, but because there's no other word for a federal government that continues to abuse the American people in such a dramatic manner. They are overrunning us. They are destroying our schools like locusts. They're destroying our hospitals. They're bringing in diseases. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens, which is a fact that's conveniently forgotten in any discussion. They're killing us. Now, we know that many of them work very hard. We understand that. But the price we're paying is awesome, overwhelming. And for a federal government to permit staphylococcus, tuberculosis, and other diseases to be brought into a country is a mark of criminality. There's no other word for it, but I'm not shocked. It's the same federal government that wants to sell sensitive technology to the communist Chinese government for a dollar. That's another. I mean, it's interrelated. When you have no conscience and no one minding the store, what you wind up with is a president with the lowest ratings in history, 24%. But wait, a Congress with an 11% approval rating. It's as though this country has been taken over by a group of gangsters who are separated from the people only by a police force and a military. The people hate them. The people have no respect for any of them, nor any respect for any of the would-be presidents, because they know they're all part and parcel of the same puzzle. And where does it end? When you see people who have children and grandchildren who do not care about the ramifications of raping the Treasury What are we the people supposed to do? Here's a story just came out on the Washington Times that's so hand in glove with what I'm telling you. TV tainted man crosses border 76 times by Audrey Hudson, Washington Times. A Mexican national infected with a highly contagious form of tuberculosis crossed the U.S. border 76 times and took multiple domestic flights in the last year, according to Customs and Border Protection interviews and documents, obtained by the Washington Times. There's your government at work. 76 times, and the Customs and Border Protection Agency was warned by health officials on April 16th that this frequent traveler from Mexico was infected with this TB, but it took the morons at Homeland Security 7 weeks to issue a May 31 alert to warn its own border inspectors, according to Homeland Security sources who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution from Pinhead, who runs the Homeland Security Department. There it is. They're covering up the invasion of this country. They're covering up the infection of this country. They're covering up the selling out of our national security of this country. And we know it. But it gets worse. I told you the other day on Monday that Pelosi and Reid would likely trigger a war in northern Iraq. I told you it could lead to the cutoff of supplies being transited from Turkey to our troops. I was right. Nancy Pelosi has committed a grave error. Now, you could say it's a grave blunder, but I believe that Pelosi and what's that jerk from Stanford, that self-righteous Holocaust-surviving jerk who thinks he's holier than God himself, simply because he suffered as a youth under Hitler. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He gets me so agitated. And why does he get me agitated? Because anyone who uses the Holocaust as a weapon, I hate them. I don't like anyone using a tragedy as a weapon to get over on people. Tom Lantos is so arrogant, it's impossible to believe anybody can be more arrogant than him. He had the nerve to say the other day that Turkey will just have to get over this. Can you believe this? So the Democrats, either knowingly or unknowingly, have triggered the Turkish parliament to approve an invasion into northern Iraq, which will open up another front in our war in Iraq. And by the way, there's another subtext to that one. The war was actually going well for George Bush and the military. The Democrats saw that Al-Qaeda was in retreat. They saw that there was liable to be a little light at the end of the tunnel. Would you believe that Pelosi and her gang possibly did this simply to make sure that the military was destabilized, our military, and that the war went badly? Has anyone suggested that? These people are willing to commit treason. They would drop an atomic bomb to get Hillary elected into the White House. Don't you understand what's at stake here? So now you're going to expect the government to stop a Mexican with a highly contagious form of TB? You think they're going to stop him? Why would the pinhead who runs Homeland Security do anything to protect this country? It's a bureaucracy. It's about trillions of dollars and nothing more to these people. That's the opinion of millions of Americans, which is why I will repeat, Bush has the lowest ratings of any president in modern American history, 24%. But the Democrat Congress has an all-time low with an 11% approval rating. Can you believe that this would happen to our country, that the people have no faith in either party? I've never seen it like this. I wake up and each day it gets worse than the day before. Much worse than the day before. Houston, Texas. Jason, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, as a student of history, I'm glad that you mentioned the Spanish conquest of the Americas, because I frankly don't see any difference between the illegal invasion of the Spaniards, who infected millions and millions of Native Americans with, at that time, an incurable disease of smallpox. Yeah,
but the only difference was the Aztecs fought back, whereas we have been homosexualized and feminized and put into a sort of prison of fear where none of us are able to fight back without fearing for our very lives or being imprisoned for committing some kind of crime for speaking the truth.
Granted, but don't you think that it's somewhat related to your ethnobiology, that these same people that were conquered, and raped as a people, that they received some of this Spaniard blood to illegally perform acts of crime and heresy onto the United States of America?
Well, you're giving me a leading question. I'm not going to be baited into that response. I wouldn't talk about blood. I would simply talk about greed. And it's the greed of our overlords more than it is about blood. The overlords want the cheap labor. The Democrats want the cheap vote. And therefore, we have this invasion. So I thank you very much for that call. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. You got to go on to michaelsavage.com and check out these stories. You must go on to my website and read my statement on the staphylococcus infection, because it's a lead story in all the liberal newspapers, but they it's a lead that goes nowhere. It hits a cul-de-sac. Normally, in my day, in other words, if they wrote about a disease, the reporter, the journalist, they call them journalists. Today they call them, in those days it was a reporter. Then they give themselves a fancy name. The stupider they became, the more brainwashed the profession became, the fancier the name. Those old-time reporters with a pencil in their hand were 50 times smarter than these schmucks with their whiz kid geniuses. So you start a report about an infection spreading throughout a country. Logically, the people would read the article and want to know why. There is no why. They tell you to wash your hands. Can you believe this? These are the same schmucks who, when the AIDS epidemic was spreading like the epidemic it was, they told you to wear a condom. They wouldn't tell you why the AIDS epidemic was spreading, who was spreading it, what subpopulations were getting it. They panicked everybody and made you tell you to put a condom on. And so we have the same kind of mentality here with the staph infection, you see. So let us go to the callers again. Liam, Los Angeles, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, Dr. Savage, before I make my point, I just noticed that liberals, they'll sit there and they'll talk about different breeds of dogs and their different personalities. Oh, Golden Retrievers are so sweet. Oh, Pomeranians are so high-strung. Oh, German Shepherds are so loyal. But then the minute you start talking about race, everybody's exactly the same.
Well, or they could say that the poodle is very smart and the Golden Retriever is very stupid. They'll say it with a smile. Why wouldn't the same theory apply to human beings?
Same exact theory does apply if you just use your brain. You know, we've been so brainwashed here. And what about this diversity? You know, the neighborhood that I live in is 99% one thing. Is that diverse enough? You know, if we're 99% brown, is that diverse enough for you now? Talk to my neighbor.
I don't have an answer. Look, Liam, we're living in a meltdown of the United States of America for many reasons. But it doesn't mean that you have to lose your sense of reason and history as the ship is going down. I mean, you could still move to the back deck and take your violin with you. You know what I'm saying? It's not illegal to play the violin on the poop deck as the ship goes underwater. Thank you for the call. So what do you want to talk about? Miami, Florida. Anna, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I think you're leaving one thing out, and that's going back to your roots and talking about nutrition and how poor the nutrition is in this country. My grandmother was 90 years old and chopping wood. She had we didn't call it organic at the time. She had an organic farm, and I never saw the woman ever sick that I can remember, but she lived off the land. And, you know, you were talking about these children that test high or whatever, but quite frankly, if you were ever in a crisis, my grandmother wasn't an educated woman, but believe me, she could grow food for you and knew which plants to put together and about sunlight and water and all sorts of things that I can guarantee you that none of these A-plus students that do well on these tests would have a clue about.
All right, but you're bringing up two different stories. Most of us don't live on the land. We live in suburban or urban, you know, settings. We are dependent upon commercial foods. That's the way 99% of humanity in our country gets their food, if not higher than that. And we know that many of the foods are not the whole foods that they once were. Hence, many of us are wise enough to supplement them with various vitamins and minerals and herbal things of that nature. We understand that. The intelligent people do that. Those who are intelligent enough to do so, and those with enough money to do so. But when it comes to a staphylococcus infection, it's a little different story. Yes, it's related to a, let's say, weakened immune system. There is no question about it. But I want to remind you that some organisms are so toxic or so potent that they'll override virtually any immune system. I don't think you understand. Do you understand that, Anna? I don't mean to talk down to you.
Yes, I understand it. I'm a practitioner, and I do understand it. But even people with
let me give you an example, because I covered this 25 years ago in a lecture once somewhere, and I'm gonna do it in another way. If I were to take an herbal preparation called curare, you know what curare is?
Yes, I do.
It comes from a tree in South America. And I would have put it on the tip of an arrow and fire it into the air at a monkey. It doesn't matter how inherently strong that monkey is. It doesn't matter what that monkey ate. That monkey is going to lose control of his muscles and fall out of the tree and be captured by the man who shot him in order to be used as food. It's the same with a human being. If you give the human being, no matter how strong he is, a certain dose of curare, he is going to lose his grip of his muscles and he becomes literally jello. So what I'm getting at is it really doesn't matter at a certain point. It's only a matter of the dosage of the infectious organism. And now you have Staphylococcus coming into our hospitals, being brought in by illegal aliens, in my theory, by illegal aliens. They're using our emergency rooms as primary care centers. I've gone in there when I've had cuts that I couldn't treat myself or a serious enough injury. And it's packed with illegals over there with running noses and coughing and the bambinos and the whole deal. And they think they're entitled to free medical care in my hospitals, which I'm paying for. And they're infected with staphylococcus and tuberculosis and cholera and God knows what else. Because they did not go through Ellis Island. They did not go through Angel Island. And they did not get treated for the infectious diseases that my grandparents were either treated for or sent back as a result of. As a result, the country is being overrun by an army of illegal aliens who now are not only threatening us in the sense of melting us down socially and politically, but medically as well. Thank you for that call. What would you like to talk about? The intelligence story? How about the Morgan Stanley dumping the entire New York Times stake? Yeah, this is an amazing story unto itself. Morgan Stanley, the second biggest shareholder in New York Times Co., sold its entire stake in the New York Times, sending the New York Times stock to its lowest in more than 10 years. Why did that happen? Again, the idiot who runs it, who inherited it, is going to go from sandals to sandals in three generations. Pinchy Sulzberger still controls the newspaper, runs it as though it's his own toy. It is anti-American, it's anti-family, it's anti-police, it's anti-military, it's anti-flag. It's anti-everything that a normal reader of such a newspaper would want to read. So they say, well, no, it's because the advertising money has left the news business and has gone to the internet. That's the big excuse that idiots like that are giving. I can guarantee you, if the New York Times became more objective and stopped attacking all of the icons of Western civilization as on a daily basis, thinking it's a college newspaper, the newspaper could be made healthy again. It's the same as the piece of garbage here in San Francisco run into the ground by the biggest of morons, Phil Bronstein. The biggest of idiots the West Coast has ever seen. The newspaper continues to publish anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-military, anti-police, anti-heterosexual stories. The readership plummets, and they won't change their policies. Because to Phil Bronstein and company, it is simply a social organ in order to publish for his friends. It's not based upon business decisions. It's not based upon truth. It's based upon pandering to the sadomasochistic crowd, for example. It's made to cater to the illegal alien mafia, for example. It's made to, you name it, okay, the special interest groups. And so, consequently, the marketplaces. You know what? Mainly white people read newspapers, incidentally. And they said, I don't want to read these papers anymore. I'm not going to read this. It's attacking me, my family, my church, everything I believe in. Take that paper and shove it. So they keep appealing to all of the other groups. How many are there? And do they buy the newspaper? The answer is obviously not. So there's trouble in America. And there's another story. Bush's warning of World War III if Iran goes nuclear. Play that soundbite and go to a break.
But we got a leader in Iran who has announced that he wants to destroy Israel. So I've told people that if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing them from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon.
We're going to have the first national interview with the report coming out of the Washington Times that was just posted on Drudge about the Mexican national infected with a highly contagious form of TB who crossed the border 76 times and took multiple domestic flights and was not stopped by any federal agency, including the Department of Homeland and Security. Audrey Hudson of the Washington Times will be with us for the first radio interview on this unbelievable story, which is developing. I myself want to hear the details, and I hope you'll join me in the next hour for that. But again, going back to my major deal right now, which is the Staphylococcus epidemic that's spreading in America, I've given you my theory. It's a one-paragraph statement. The way all good science begins is with an idea. Not 10 pages long. One paragraph is all you need. Now, you can't get a grant anymore with a one-paragraph idea because you have to doctor it up to make it look like you're smart. And in order to prove you're smart, you have to actually sound stupid. So you have to put in academic words and things of that nature so that the et cetera, you see how it goes. But I have a pretty clear theory on this. If there are new strains of staph, where are they coming from? Well, one is they're drug resistant because we're overusing antibiotics. That's an old theory, probably true to a certain extent. But the other element is the immigration story, and they're not talking about it because they're politicized. Period, end of story, Los Angeles. Ann, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm a nurse in Southern California. I work in the ICU, and I totally, wholeheartedly agree with you. Staph, VRE, and TB are not only at the acute care facilities, but in public schools, which is yet another good reason to put your kid in private school.
Oh, you mean the little immigrant illegals are coughing and things of that nature, and you're not supposed to notice it?
No, you're not. And as a nurse and a physician, you're supposed to keep your mouth shut and turn the other way and just treat them.
So all those little dirty runny noses and gooey little hands that go on the desks and in the lunchroom are being spread in the schools. But then again, you can't say that because that smacks of something other than science.
Just doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's reaching a point of no return. I mean, there's no way out of this. TB-tainted man crosses border 76 times. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. Where are the staph infections coming from? Africans are less intelligent than Westerners, says DNA Pioneer. It's all up on my website. I'll be back. Be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Right, so where to begin? Let's begin with Bush has the lowest ratings in the history of the modern presidency at 24%. But before you liberals get too excited, your group has an 11% approval rating, which is the lowest in history. Nancy Pelosi and Tom Lantos and the other geniuses have possibly committed the greatest blunder in the history of the U.S. Congress by provoking a war between Turkey and the Kurds, opening up another front in the Iraq war, just when things were looking a little better, possibly on purpose in order to undermine the war effort directly. We don't know their motivations, but look, as you understand, there is so much at stake in how much you can rape the Treasury that they're willing to start another war or undermine this war when it looks like we might win it in order to take control of the White House. Anything is possible. There are other major stories that are more at home. Where are the staph infections coming from? I have posited my theory on my website, michaelsavage.com, and I'll read to you in a minute. There's another huge story just broke, and it's in the Washington Times. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. A Mexican national infected with a highly contagious form of tuberculosis crossed the U.S. border 76 times, took multiple domestic flights, and yet was not stopped by the U.S. government for months. The Homeland Security Department proved itself worthless and incapable of stopping even this man. Let alone, imagine what would go on if they found the man with a nuclear device. I wonder what the geniuses would have to do, how many filings and meetings and lawyers and vettings. It's unbelievable to me. But the articles from the Washington Times, and one of the authors, Audrey Hudson, will be with us shortly to discuss this in an exclusive on the Savage Nation. Apparently, she thinks you're important enough to reach, unlike Romney, Giuliani, McCain, and the other cowards who refuse to meet the Savage Nation at their own loss. If 22 million of you have gone to my website, 22 million of you have taken time out to say, Michael, leave radio, run for the presidency, give him hell, Harry. And Romney, Giuliani, none of them will meet you and talk with you. Instead, they'll go on Wallbanger's show because they know that he's going to throw softballs. It's no wonder the Republicans are in such disarray. But let us talk about the TB epidemic, which we've known about, by the way. I have told you that in San Francisco, there are certain districts in San Francisco where the tuberculosis incidence is as high as it is in certain regions of Africa. Incurable strains of tuberculosis are found in certain areas of San Francisco at levels equaling to that of the darkest corners of Africa and the most remote regions of Mexico. And yet the city fathers, or shall I say the city transgendereds, pay no attention to what the immigrants are actually doing to this city. Instead, they take time out to condemn me for daring to stand up to the invasion from Mexico and from other countries. Where are the staph infections coming from? We hear even in the USA Today, staph, more people are going to die from staph than AIDS. But they don't tell you why, where, how, or where it's coming from. Epidemiology is the study of epidemics. It's based upon common sense. It's based upon detective skills. One of the earliest epidemiologists, although he didn't know he was an epidemiologist, was an old English country doctor by the name of Edward Jenner. And there was an epidemic in England. No one could figure out where the epidemic was coming from. What was its source? He traced it back to one well, one pump, where people were getting their water from. When they closed the well down, that epidemic was stopped cold in its tracks. That was the beginning of epidemiology. Now, we know that if the same commonsensical thinking was applied in medicine today, we could stop many of the epidemics that are emerging in our country. But they would all lead back to the third world. They'd lead back to Mexico, China, Africa, parts of Russia, where immigrants, legal and illegal, are pouring into this country from, with them resistant strains of various organisms. And consequently, the political establishment would be embarrassed once again in their inability to protect us, putting greed ahead of common sense and the common good. So I wrote this little paragraph. We are told this is a new strain of staph. But the good doctors are either ignorant of epidemiology or afraid to tell the truth. Let us reason together. New drug-resistant strains of bacteria appear in our hospitals over the past 10 years. Some are the result of overuse of antibiotics. But others are being brought into emergency rooms by the millions of illegal aliens who use our hospitals for primary care. Doctors, nurses, and others then spread these germs throughout the hospital. And of course, when illegals visit their relatives in the wards, they also spread the gift that keeps on giving. Drug-resistant staph infections, this is my own theory. I have an earned PhD in epidemiology and human nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley, 1978. Michael Savage. Now let's go on to the callers. Portland, Oregon, KXL Country. Ed, go ahead, please. Ed, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Ed.
Okay. Michael, staph is not geopolitical, and it's not epidemic in the United States because everybody didn't come through Ellis Island. Staph is a naturally occurring organism. I'm covered with it. You're covered with it. Everybody's covered.
No, I've heard that, but wait a minute, sir. Now you're denying what everyone's reporting to make a political point? You just said that we're all covered with it, which we all know. Then why is this disease suddenly in the news?
Finish.
No. Answer the question. Why is this disease suddenly in the news, Ed?
Are variants of staph that are more toxic.
And if you don't answer my question, we can't have a dialogue. So I'll ask you again. Why is the issue of Staphylococcus suddenly in the news today?
Because it's epidemic in the United States.
Why is it epidemic in the United States?
Because a lot of people have it. It's an epidemic.
Sir, wait, you're not answering the question. So you're implying that it was always epidemic?
No, absolutely not. You asked me why it's currently in the news, and I told you. Real quickly,
okay, so you agree that it's suddenly reaching epidemic proportion, so let's ask you a more specific question, since you won't answer a straight question unless you're forced to do so. Why is Staphylococcus suddenly epidemic?
I sincerely believe it's because a lot of people are not following a course of treatment with antibiotics. They take a portion of a course of treatment, they stop because they feel better.
So in other words, you're the lone wolf now who's saying we don't get enough antibiotics?
I'm saying that if you don't complete a course of treatment, you can build a drug-resistant bug in your body.
So in other words, you don't believe, as 99% of the intelligent people in the medical profession do, that a large reason or a primary reason for this is, A, because of overuse of antibiotics, which have permitted drug-resistant strains to emerge? You don't agree with that?
I agree that antibiotics are overprescribed, and that's part of the problem.
Well, you just said they're underused but overprescribed. Aren't they the same thing, or they're two different things?
No, they're not. They're overprescribed, but I didn't say they're underused. I said people do not follow the complete course of treatment, that if the doctor says you need to take 30 doses of PenVK.
No, I understand. They cut it off after they feel better, and then consequently a new strain emerges. So you're denying that there's any relationship whatsoever between immigrants and epidemics?
No, I am not.
Where are we disagreeing then?
We're disagreeing in that what I think you're saying, and I may be incorrect, I think you're saying that illegal immigrants are the sole or primary source of disease. And I don't believe that's true.
Well, wait, now you're saying disease. I'm saying, in this case, Staphylococcus. One of the chief loci of infections are hospitals. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
All right. Why all of a sudden are we seeing new strains of Staphylococcus in hospitals? Wouldn't it be logical to investigate my theory that it's related to the onslaught of millions of illegal aliens who are using our emergency rooms as primary care centers? Wouldn't that be logical if you're a doctor to examine that?
It's beyond logical. It would be trivial to find that your theory is absolutely dead on the money.
I don't know what you just said.
I said hospitals are one of the sickest places in the country, and if you're positing that they're a locus of infection, I absolutely agree with you, and it should be investigated.
I understand that, but why all of a sudden do we see new strains of Staphylococcus emanating from hospitals? We understand hospitals have always been sources of contagion. The best they can do is the best they can do. But you can't deny that immigrants who are not being screened because there are no longer any Ellis Islands are not potentially bringing in new organisms, are you, or new strains of organisms? That would be illogical.
Now you throw in potentially. I'll agree with potentially.
All right. So as long as you'll agree with potentially, then it's a theory worth testing. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Then we agree. We're men of reason. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Where are the staph infections coming from? I have a theory. I've published it in a simple paragraph on michaelsavage.com. DNA pioneer, Nobel Prize winner, when the Nobel Prize was actually given for scientific discovery rather than for political reasons, says that Africans are less intelligent than Westerners. Read what he says. Don't blame me. Argue with him. TB-tainted man crossed the border 76 times, took multiple domestic flights, and the Homeland Security Department did nothing about it. They were sending papers back and forth. Let's go to the callers. Mobile, Alabama. Vanessa, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to argue the point that blacks are not more intelligent than whites, and I want to agree with the scientist if he is quoting the fact or making the statement that it is intelligence rather than aptitude. If you think about the word intelligence and what it means, it's the overall knowledge, skill, abilities, and aptitude of a person.
Well, before we have this discussion, first I want to state that those are his ideas, number one, but I have to read you the rest of what Dr. Watson said. He said that black people were less intelligent than white people, and the idea that, quote, equal powers of reason were shared across racial groups was a delusion. So he's going a little further than what you're saying. He's saying not all races share equal powers of the ability to reason.
Okay, well, I disagree with that. They do share equal powers of the ability to reason. I have to disagree with him on that point.
All right, well, I'm not here to make anyone feel crazy, nor to provoke outrage in this. It's an extremely sensitive issue. But for me to ignore it completely would be just irresponsible. So I'd suggest you read it and take it up with him. I don't want to take that one on. How's that? Fort Lauderdale. Neil, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, good to talk to you. Sorry I missed you down in Florida. We could have shared an egg cream and a pretzel. Anyway,
Let me answer. A, I don't eat pretzels. B, I haven't had an egg cream in 50 years, but what's on your mind?
Yeah, the more people that we have coming in from other countries that aren't in health, we're definitely putting ourselves at risk. And you haven't even touched upon the point that restaurant workers and food service workers, you had some gastro problems.
Oh, yeah. You mean Lavos Los Manos, senor?
Service industry.
Yeah, how about Lavos Los Manos? How come they don't, why don't they Lavos Los Manos? You have any answer to that? Because it's not culturally, it's not part of their culture. They don't Lavos Los Manos over there.
I don't know what's going on. It's unbelievable.
Well, I understand. You take your life in your hands when you go into some restaurants. Well, why mince words?
They think a sign in the bathroom that says wash hands is going to make a difference to the cook. I go in. I can't believe what I see sometimes. They come in with
Please, I don't want to hear it. I need galoshes when I go into most Chinese restaurants. You need a biohazard suit.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
You need in San Francisco, in some of the restaurants, the Chinese restaurants out on the avenues, you need a biohazard suit to just do number one in these toilets. I never saw anything like it.
Right.
No, it's a disgrace. The Department of Public Health in this city is having a meeting tomorrow on whether to provide shooting galleries for junkies instead of cleaning up the toilets in restaurants. I spit on them. They should be arrested. They should take out the head of public health and put him in prison for 50 years. What that bum has done to this city. Are you kidding me? KNEW, San Francisco, Lowell, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, there's a dirty little secret in the dental business, and I'm sure your listeners aren't aware that some of their dental restorations are being manufactured offshore in China.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. I had another tooth pull today, and I discussed implants. Where, you're telling me the fake tooth is coming from China?
Yeah, they're being manufactured in China, Mexico, the Philippines, Costa Rica.
How about this one? When they have to restore bone, they use cadaver bone. Do we know where the cadaver came from? Was it a bum from the streets with AIDS or tuberculosis?
I understand
they sterilize the bone, but no thank you.
Scary, yes.
Lowell, so is there any way to get a tooth domestically made anymore, or it's all being made somewhere else? How do I find the origin of a tooth if I want to have dental implants, Lowell?
Well, I think it's just important you ask your dentist where it was manufactured.
Okay. I mean, you saved me. I'm reaching a point where I need a few of them, Lowell. Are you a dentist?
No, I have a dental lab.
Lowell, please give my crew your contact, because I'm going to use your dental lab. I'm going to insist on it. Please. I'm serious about this. Just in time, God save me, so I don't get a dental import from Zhangzhou. Up next, Audrey Hudson with the blockbuster story that just hit all of the websites, mainly the Drudge Report from the Washington Times. A shocking, astonishing story about the TB-tainted man who's crossed our border 76 times and flew on our airplanes with incurable tuberculosis, and the Homeland Security Department knew about it for 3 months and was unable to do anything or refused to do anything. And you know, in another country, the head of Homeland Security would be put in prison for this. Do you know that in France in the 1970s there was tainted blood? And do you know that the head of their equivalent of HHS went to prison for 10 years? That's correct. In France, the head of human services went to prison for 10 years because of infected transfusions. Here in this country, they go to work for a corporation or a university as a result of screwing the American
Savage.
People. It is a, oh my God, I wish it was a savage nation. I wish it was a savage nation. I wish it was a savage nation. It's a wimpy nation. It's a beaten nation. Overrun by illegal aliens, TB-tainted man crossed the border 76 times, flew on our airplanes, according to Customs and Border Protection interviews and documents obtained by the Washington Times. Audrey Hudson is the co-author of this article, just went up on Drudge Report, michaelsavage.com. Here she is, Audrey. What a story this is. Tell us the whole story.
It's a matriarchal nation.
Stop it.
It is. It's a matriarchal nation. We broke it on our website about an hour ago. This fantastic investigative reporter we hired a few months ago, Sarah Carter, who I am the co-author. She's the author of this piece. Obtained documentation that showed that there was a Mexican national man who has crossed our border since August of last year up until June 76 times and flew on multiple domestic flights, and no one was warned.
Well, your article says the Customs and Border Protection Agency was warned by health officials on April 16th that the frequent traveler from Mexico was infected, but it took the Homeland Security officials 6 weeks to issue a May 31 alert. What was the delay all about?
They say the delay in issuing the BOLO was that they weren't getting, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, they weren't getting the correct information from the Mexican authorities.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, they took the Mexican authorities' word or lack of word above that of health officials? And this is all political, isn't it, Audrey?
I believe this is a cover-up.
A cover-up?
Took them
all right, so this multiple drug-resistant TB strain was the same dangerous strain of TB that concerned health officials when Andrew Speaker, the 31-year-old Atlanta lawyer, slipped into the U.S. from Europe via flight from Canada. Is that correct?
That's the same one.
Okay. What is the risk to the passengers who were in contact with Amado Isidro Amandares Amaya? What a name. Amado Isidro Amandares Amaya made the trip across the U.S. border, the last one on May 21, where he applied for an I-94 visa? Unbelievable.
Actually, while they didn't get the BOLO out. He'd come back into the country to get a visa. And then when they did issue the BOLO, now this is just to the border inspectors on May 31st. It took another week before they informed TSA, and a no-fly edict was issued. But now we do have, in the story that's coming up tomorrow in full, we just have a preview that's posted on our website tonight, which Drudge seized on immediately, but it's on WashingtonTimes.com. There's actually kind of a conflict between what CDC says and what the World Health Organization says and what other physicians say about how important it would be to inform passengers that they were exposed to us. Apparently, the rule of thumb in the U.S. is if you haven't been exposed to someone for more than 8 hours, then they're not going to notify you. But, Michael, I can fly from here to L.A. in 5.5 hours. I don't believe there is. I can be in London in less than 8 hours.
A physician with the CDC. Wait, I'm going to read your article. It says a physician with the CDC says that they usually only notify flights that are 8 hours or longer that passengers could have potentially been infected. Are they insane? Would you want to be in a closed aircraft for 8 hours with somebody infected with drug-resistant tuberculosis? I wouldn't.
Well, of course not, especially if you have a lowered immune system. But, I mean, if you look at this guy was on...
But, Audrey, you and I both know why the CDC says this. The CDC, when I was a graduate student, was a sterling organization. It was penetrated by AIDS racketeers. You don't have to agree with me. I know you're in a more sensitive position than I am. And they don't want any disease to be categorized as dangerous because it's liable to trigger people into fearing flying with some of their buddies who have HIV infections. I know what this is all about. It is not politics. It's not medicine anymore. It's politics.
Well, I was actually listening to you coming home and where you were seizing on the story of the day, which was the staph infections that they were all going crazy about. And I was listening to you talk about the politics of the CDC. Now, I don't cover medical issues, and so it was eye-opening for me to hear what you had to say about it. I wish I'd actually heard your show.
Oh, well, I actually should do an expose on what the CDC has become. It's a disgrace. It's a national disgrace. But this TB-tainted man crossing the border 76 times and took multiple domestic flights, isn't our government going to be worried about people who are exposed to this guy?
Well, the main question I had and the reason I was brought in on the article was, what were the airlines told? Was there any effort to find out how many flights he was on? We only know about three. And, Michael, the only reason we know about these three flights is when they finally caught up to him, they had the flight tickets, the receipts, you know, that you tear off the ticket. They had he had these three on him. That's the only reason they know about these flights.
Where is the infected man Amado Isidro Amendarez Amaya now? Does anyone know where he is?
He is. We are told he is in Mexico.
Oh, he's not teaching at the Kennedy School of Government. That's one plus.
He's supposedly still in Mexico and is not allowed back in the United States. By air.
Well, come on. The man could walk into the United States anytime he wants.
I mean, he was crossing legally. We have, and tomorrow we'll have a graphic in the newspaper that shows all the border crossings he came over 76 times since August. It's more than one. It's like a dozen different borders he crossed over legally.
According to your article, okay, let's start again. Customs and Border. Warned by health officials on April 16th that the frequent traveler was infected with this strain of TB. It takes Homeland Security 6 weeks to issue a May 31 alert to warn its own border inspectors, according to Homeland Security sources, who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution. Then, wait, Homeland Security takes one more week to tell its own TSA. Why is Homeland Security doing this? My opinion, politics. They don't want to trigger any thought that immigrants might be carrying diseases. Audrey, it's plain and simple. It's all politics now.
You have
suddenly gone silent because you are in the journalistic professions and I am not. I am merely a commentator.
Well, that's what I said. I said, keep going.
Audrey, I love it. So we're not going to talk about whether or not this individual had hair extensions or not. That's an in-joke. Okay. What else can you tell us? No, we're not going there. Tell us about this story, Audrey. Anything else coming out in the Washington Times tomorrow?
It's a long story that's coming out tomorrow. Sarah and I spent a couple of days really burning the phone lines, trying to get Homeland to account for this, different agencies within Homeland, trying to get the airlines to tell us what they knew and when they knew it or if they knew anything. And it looks like all of this was what they hoped, I think. They hoped to keep it in El Paso. And when you read the article, you'll see that there's a lot of brave people that are risking their jobs to come forward and tell their story because they were basically told, if this ever gets outside of this room, everyone in this room is fired.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like a fascist dictatorship. So, in other words, you learn this by talking to Homeland Security workers who have more of a patriotic spirit than the bums who run the agency. They're more concerned with their own careers than they are with protecting America. So what does that tell us about somebody who might be carrying nuclear material across the border? Would it take them 6 weeks to cover that up too?
Well, the good news is that, you know, the employees that who contacted us did have a conscience and couldn't live with it anymore and basically said, if we lose our jobs, we lose our jobs. But the
Wait a minute. Shouldn't the head of Homeland Security be fired over this? I mean, how many outrages do there have to be? Yeah, no comment. I know you can't say these things. You're a journalist. I'm a commentator, so I can ask the hard questions. Audrey, you are the Homeland Security. You write for Homeland Security issues, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So this is your beat, in other words. You know a lot about Homeland Security. What can you tell us about the Department of Homeland Security? Is it as politicized as many of us fear it is?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay. Is it useful? Does it do a good job in any way?
Now, that's a loaded question. Which agency? I think they strive to. I mean, obviously they strive to, but I think where they hit a brick wall, where I've seen them hit a brick wall over and over again, is when they mess up. And they mess up and they try and do a cover-up. And as per usual in Washington, it's the cover-up that kills them. And it seems like they never wanted this little story to leave El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they took a week before they even let TSA know.
Well, if I remember correctly, a man by the name of Scooter Libby spent a lot of money and a lot of time defending himself because he told one little lie to an interrogator. I think this is an awful lot bigger than one little lie. Maybe the head of Homeland Security or the person who did this ought to be deposed before a congressional committee. This is worthy of a congressional investigation, Audrey. I would think so. It's certainly bigger than the trivia that they seem to attack each other over.
And you know what? That you're right. That's the question I'm going to be asking tomorrow. I'm going to be looking up on the Hill and saying, what do you guys have to say about this?
Yeah, I guarantee you that Nostrelman, I mean Waxman, won't run a committee hearing on this. Instead, he'll run a committee hearing on talk radio. Well, I look forward to reading the rest of this story tomorrow, Audrey. Thanks for being a real journalist in a time when there's very little real journalism. And we're very concerned about TB-tainted man crosses border 76 times, flies on our airlines over here, foot dragging in Homeland Security. It takes them 6 weeks to alert its own border inspectors, and then it takes another week to tell its own Transportation Security Agency. But that doesn't stop the TSA from stripping nuns bare in their wheelchairs, does it?
You're so bad.
Audrey Hudson, thank you for being a real great journalist in a time when we really need journalism more than ever before. It's the Savage Nation. That's Audrey Hudson from the Washington Times. You heard it first here on the Savage Nation. There's a brave lady who's not afraid to come on the show, unlike Giuliani or Romney or any of the others who would be president. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The personal is very political. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. My very first demo show, those of you who have been listening to me religiously since 1994, my first demo tape was built around immigrants and epidemics. That's how I got my first radio show back in 94. Nobody would touch the subject. Now, here we are in 2007. We're talking about staphylococcus. We're talking about tuberculosis. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We're being overrun by invaders who are not being screened the way your grandparents or great-grandparents were. Common sense health screening has been thrown out the window for the expediency of cheap labor. It's unbelievable to me. Then we learn a dental lab owner called and told us that many of the implants are made in China. Did you hear the one about the Orthodox Muslim who had a tooth implant, turned out from China, and he had a sudden craving for pork buns? I mean, I could see the cascade of jokes that will evolve from that one. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com website. Many things to see on Michael's website. Where are the staph infections coming from? Africans are less intelligent than Westerners, says DNA Pioneer. Now, you have to look at the article before you get angry at me. TB-tainted man crosses border 76 times. Read and weep. Israeli father of 67 kids seeks ninth wife. But he's a Bedouin. They're allowed to do it in their tribe. 67 children? And he says he remembers each child's name, and he's never had a problem meeting women, and he's looking for another 20-year-old. It's, God, it's crazy. He lives on welfare. Not a bad game. I mean, why not? They can't get away with it in Utah. Here they're public enemy number one. In Israel, they give them welfare if they get another wife and another few children. The Archbishop in San Francisco has apologized for giving communion to gays dressed as nuns. It's rubbish. It's a lie. It's a cover-up story that only people in San Francisco would believe, in my opinion. Debunking global warming. What articles I have. 11 inaccuracies in Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. Gore's Prize of Fraud on the People. Gore gets... Did you notice that they dropped the whole Gore story almost immediately? Do you know why? They don't want all of the scientists who have disproven this rubbish to be heard from, and so they're dropping the story altogether. Minnesota Muslims rally on behalf of child rapist. That's it, another story. Michigan jihadi uses the gay rumor defense. What a story that is on the website today. L.A. to mandate on-site accommodations for illegal aliens. You see, they're going in the other direction. And here's one for you, Nancy Pelosi. Turkish parliament backs military operations in Iraq. Can you believe this? Here's another story that didn't make it to Fox News today. Islamic riots in Amsterdam. Moroccan Dutch youths rioted in Amsterdam overnight Tuesday. A group of dozens of youths in the Slotervaart neighborhood in blah, blah, blah. So the Dutch either stand up and go back to the roots of their grandfather and throw the bums out, or in their lifetime they'll be thrown out of their own country. Either the entire European enterprise disappears, or there's a right-wing revolution across Europe, and they throw the Islamists out of their countries, period. That's what it's coming down to. And I got news for you. I got news for you. We're heading to a civil war in this country as well. Do I want it? No. I hate war. I hate bloodshed. I'm a man of peace. I am telling you we're heading to a civil war in this country as sure as I'm sitting here. I have never seen such divisions, political, social, medical, societal, intellectual, as I see in this country today. I have never seen such incompetence, corruption, and greed in the ruling classes. Never, and not in my lifetime. I know it existed sometime in some distant past in America. There were corrupt presidents and rotten congresses. But not when you had nuclear weapons banging around inside suitcases in the United States of America did you ever see anything like this. Moreover, there was always a brick wall in the behavior of even the most corrupt politician in this country. I don't know of a single case where corrupt politicians would literally side with the opposition team or side with the enemy as we have today. I don't know of a single case where you had U.S. senators doing business with the enemy himself through their husbands' front companies, as we do today with many U.S. senators, some of whom live in $18 million vacation homes in Vail, Colorado, and then pretend that they care about the downtrodden and the poor. I don't know of such cases where companies could be sold to the enemy himself, companies that are on the cutting edge of protecting us from the enemy invading, for example, in this case, the computers of the Defense Department, without going to jail immediately, for example, to Fort Leavenworth for 50 years and all their assets seized. I don't know of such a time in American history where an investment bank could slip a CEO into the Department of the Treasury who is supposed to be the watchdog of such sales. I don't know of such times in American history as we are living in today, ladies and gentlemen. And we are all perplexed by it because although we see that Bush's ratings are the lowest of any modern president, if you read on in the Gallup poll, you find out that Congress has the lowest rating, lower than Bush by 50%. He's rated at 24% approval. They have an 11% approval. So where does that leave us, we the people? Tell me where that leaves us. Tell us what we're supposed to do. Tell us why you've given up on the system. Tell us if you really believe that Hillary Clinton is a reformer. Are you kidding me? You had 8 years of her reform. You had 8 years of Hillary Clinton's reformist tendencies between 1992 and the year 2000. You think she suddenly found religion? And what about Rudy Giuliani? He's going to save America? The man who is for seizing guns, the man who is for unlimited abortions, the man is for every social liberal policy known to mankind. Why should I have faith in him when he won't even come and face the savage nation? What is he afraid of? What will I ask him that the wall banger wouldn't ask him? What do you think the wall banger wouldn't have asked him last night that I would ask him? And what about the great Mitch Romney? Whatever his name is, Mitt Romney, excuse me. I had faith in him for a while until I started looking into a few details, like how did he become the governor of Massachusetts, a very liberal state, and stay there so long? You start looking at that, you say, wait a minute, something doesn't add up here. What, are they just telling us one thing and then they're going to do another? Yes, boys and girls, it's called politics as usual. Now, I understand politics as usual because I'm a realist, I'm a pragmatist, and I understand how the system works, and I'm not a dreamer nor an idealist at the end of the day. I understand people have to lie to get people to vote for them. But in times like this, when we have Islamists sneaking in nuclear materials, that's according to the Homeland Security Department itself, telling us it's not a matter of when, not a matter of if, but when we're going to get hit by a dirty bomb. They said that to you 2 months ago. They can't do anything to stop it any more than they can stop the tuberculosis epidemic from Mexico. They could stop it, ladies and gentlemen. They could stop it cold like a massive infection. It's called Use the FBI the Way It Was Made to Be Used. Arrest the heads of the ACLU. Put them in prison until this is over. Break down the doors of every questionable mosque and go in there and clean it out like a bare tooth.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, it's Wednesday on the Savage Nation, and we've been talking about immigrants and epidemics. Well, as a matter of fact, I've been talking about immigrants and epidemics for over 15 years on the radio. The demo I sent out to radio stations across the country before I was ever in radio was about this very topic, immigrants and epidemics. The staff superbug we've been talking about today is the result of the same political insanity around illegal aliens and diseases such as tuberculosis, staphylococcus, cholera, and the plague. The political correctness of yesterday has brought us the diseases of today. And so I'm going to play for you my original demo tape, which is just as fresh today as it was 15 years ago. I, Michael Savage, told you about this decades before the media would touch it. Go ahead and play it.
Now, direct from the towers above Manhattan, it's the Michael Savage Show. To the right of Rush and to the left of God, and now, Michael Savage.
I'm glad I can be with you 7 nights a week because these stories are just not going away. I mean, every day in every way we're getting assaulted. Look at these questions before us today. Look at the questions before us. You know, they say that I'm to the right of Rush and to the left of God. I really don't think that that's funny. I really don't think that's funny at all. Do immigrants carry diseases? Are lawyers really humans? Is white bread safe to eat? How come women with mustaches, with peace and love and turtle-saving bumper stickers, are the most likely to cut you off on the highway? Is Bill Clinton's mother a lesbian? By the way, a quick note. Nazis, skinheads, KKK, don't call me. Crawl back into your bunkers. You've given true conservatives a bad name because you permit the sick leftists to paint all conservatives with the fascist brush, okay? Don't call me. Do Labor Secretary Reich's feet touch the ground when he's seated on talk shows? I don't know. But these are some of the questions that I think we have to answer here. Because these questions are very much like the legislation before the 103rd Congress. Look at the bills that are facing our country right now. Abortion rights, appropriations, budget, campaign finance, congressional reform, crime, family and medical leave, the Hatch Act, the Health Care Act, the lobbying, voter registration, national service, school improvement, trade and welfare reform. These are the major bills in our Congress right now. So we have a lot to talk about. You know, that's why I'm here every night for you. You know what the Hatch Act is? I bet you don't even know what that is. It's a House-passed bill that would allow employees to hold political office and work on campaigns. Would you imagine that? In other words, you could hold an office and work on a campaign. In other words, you could, instead of doing the job for the American people, you can do a job for the person you're working for. That's really terrific. Well, what would you do with the NAFTA agreement? Would you pass it? How come the conservatives are for NAFTA and the Democrats seem to be like for and against it? I mean, NAFTA was basically a Republican-initiated concept. Now Clinton is for it. Barbara Boxer, the California senator, is against it. What exactly is NAFTA? Are we going to lose jobs to Mexico? I'd like you to tell me what you think NAFTA is and how you're going to be affected. Is it only low-rate jobs, high-ranking jobs, or what? First caller, you're on with Michael Savage. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Well, I'll tell you, I'm enraged and incensed about the lawyers.
Lawyers?
Yeah.
You're the fourth caller in a row to say something negative about a lawyer. I wonder why.
It just seems to me that the way it stands in this country, I mean, I believe in democracy, and I grew up believing that
you do?
Innocent.
Have you seen a psychiatrist recently? Let me ask you a question.
Way.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lawyer recently? I mean, in person? Dealt with one?
Well, the last time I was at a cocktail party, I asked him if he was AC or DC.
AC or DC?
Ambulance chaser or divorce chaser.
I see. Very funny. I like that one. You know what all lawyers remind me of? They remind me of people who come out of a bathroom and they shake your hand while their own hand is still wet. That's what they remind me of. And you don't know what's on their hand. You don't know whether they, like, didn't wipe or, you know, they whatever. I don't know. I don't understand these people.
They're filthy. That's why. Feel dirty.
Well, let's cut this out. You know, this isn't fair. I did pick up a recent issue of the American Bar Association magazine. It was a special issue devoted to new graduates.
Yes. Yeah.
And so help me God, this was an ad. You could write away for this poster to put on your wall.
Oh.
I didn't know if it was serious or not. Here's what it said. For new law graduates, here's exactly what the poster said. Remember, your adversary is your friend. Because only your adversary can give you billable hours.
Oh, God,
and your client is your enemy. Because only your client will try to stop you from gaining billable hours. That is where we are at. Anyway, thank you very much for calling. And keep listening to Michael Savage. By the way, what you're calling from San Rafael, Mexico, right?
I wish I was in San Rafael, Mexico.
Well, you're reaching me here high atop the tower of the Empire State Building in New York City. And I really want you to keep those calls coming in because Michael Savage needs you.
Are police today the same as they were 10 years ago? Have police become more brutal than they used to be? The Gottbaum death, tasering, spraying pepper spray in a black child's eyes. Did you see that one last week in Florida? And what was the law she violated? The curfew law? The thug sprayed pepper spray in her eye? This poor girl was screaming, "I didn't do anything, sir. Please let me go." Do you think it's affirmative action that's responsible for increased police brutality and a decline in professionalism? What do you think accounts for the decline in police across America in the last few years? Those are some of the stories I'm interested in. Truthfully, I don't expect you to call about them because you're not really that interested in them. I can sense that the tent is not that full today. I don't know what it is in America. I have an intuitive sixth and seventh sense here about talk radio. I literally have a mindset image of this huge tent, like a revival tent. And I can tell when you're packing in before the show begins. I can tell when you're not packing, you know, dying to get into the tent. Right now, there's a small crowd in the front rows, the diehards. The rest are milling about outside, smoking, you know, talking about everything else. They're not interested in politics. America has tuned out of politics. They see one fraud after another telling us how they're going to clean up Washington. And then they see one fraud after another telling us that it's time for a change. We see one fraud after another telling us it's not time for a change. And then another fraud telling us it is time for a change. You know, it's unbelievable to me.
Savage.
Thank God for talk radio. That's all I could say. And coffee. Unfortunately, coffee sucks lately. I can't find a cup of coffee that's drinkable. It's garbage. I stopped going to Starbucks. It was okay for a while. You know, they have them. And all of a sudden, they're selling the worst crap I ever drank in my life. You could burn your tongue. You just drink it. It's garbage. It's like drinking like something dead. It's poison, in my opinion. Someone ought to tell the Starbucks people to make a decent cup of coffee. I don't know what they line up, the schmucks. Lining up, give me this and meso, frappe, crappe. They don't know what they're drinking, the idiots. So they see a machine, they think that they're in Paris all of a sudden. Coffee's a whole story. I know a lot about it. I never talk about it because I'm an ethnobotanist by training. They don't even know that they're drinking dead garbage. Most don't know that. I mean, a green coffee bean can stay fresh for a year. But once you roast it, the flavor is good for a few days. It's like bread. Within a week, it's dead. So most of the coffee you're drinking is garbage. Anywhere you go, you're a coffee. You're drinking dead garbage. I'm getting into something else, and I'm sick of the terrorist stuff and transvestites. I don't want to talk about transvestites and otherworldly morons for a minute. So I don't know where to get a cup of coffee anymore. I can't. There's nowhere to get a decent cup of coffee. The problem with me is I've eaten from the tree of knowledge in so many areas that I know too much. That's why I'm going to wind up with long fingernails on a submarine somewhere. What can I do? If I can't get a good cup of coffee, I'll tell you about it. If I can't get a decent meal, I'll tell you about it. If I can't get a good politician, I'll tell you about it. If I can't get a good jury verdict, I'll tell you about it. If I can't get an honest politician, you'll hear about it. What do you want me to do? It's like a bad cup of coffee. Same thing to me. It's all about the same thing. All about the same thing. Don't give me rotten chopped meat and expect me to tell you it was a good hamburger. I told you why I'm like that. Because I'm from another world. I have one foot in the old world. You don't understand that about me. I'm a transitional character. I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. I am a first-generation American, and I'm very proud of that. And in many ways, it gives me a tremendous advantage over the deceit and deception around me. I'll tell you the truth. Because I grew up with a very cynical upbringing. Very, very cynical. Not trusting anybody or anything. And it turned out my father was right. I mean, you wind up walking around like Pollyanna. What do you think is going to happen to you? You know what's going to happen to you. It's like the liberal judges out there. They think that every mass murderer is a victim. The people who write for the New York Times probably grew up in the suburbs somewhere. They never had their nose punched. Nobody ever grabbed them by the collar and smacked them. So they keep writing this trash about insurgents. When even the French call them ungodly beasts, they're still referring to the throat cutters as insurgents. Again, they live in another world. They don't understand the world we're in or what we're facing here. That's why their publication is dying. That's why the newspapers are dying. But they'd rather see it go. Don't you understand that it's other people's money? Don't you understand that the radicals who have taken over the newspapers and the media don't really care whether they make it bankrupt or not? That's not a private enterprise for them. They don't care if they bust it out. It means nothing to them. They're brainwashed leftists, and they figure, you know, I'll have a good ride. And I'll publish the stuff. My boyfriends will love me and think I'm the greatest because I work for the Times. And, you know, and they're great social positions. And then when the circulation figures come in and they find out they were down, 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 they're lying about it. What does it matter to them? Doesn't mean a damn thing to them. Now, when my numbers are up, 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 which they are, and I am the king of talk radio in my time slot wherever I appear, I don't need anyone to tell me that it's true. I got the hard numbers from Arbitron to prove it. I don't care what the midget from the other station, the little man with size 4 shoes, writes about me. It doesn't matter. He lost me, and he lost. He makes up stories about me. The man with the tiny feet, the tiny hands, and the tiny appendages. It doesn't matter to me what he does. The fact of the matter is Arbitron tells the truth. Here's a nice light story, if you want a light story here. Flight attendants still trained to cooperate with hijackers. You hear this? 3 years after the 911, they're still teaching flight attendants to cooperate with hijackers and be victims rather than fight back. I can get a stroke when I read these stories. You don't know that these practitioners of throat cutting, these vermin, these subhumans, these roaches, these cockroaches, do you know that they cut the throats? Do you know how many? I can't even tell you the story. Do you know what actually happened on those three airplanes? Do you know that these verminous, cowardly roaches cut the throats of 25 flight attendants on board the four planes to gain entry to the cockpits? Do you know that these vermin who talk about Allah, these vermin who claim that they're religious, cut the throats of 25 women and men on the four planes in front of the children and the passengers? One passenger who tried to intervene and save the flight attendants was also murdered. These stinking cockroaches. And I've got to call them insurgents? No, I won't call them insurgents. I won't call them insurgents at all. I'd like to see them hanging from lampposts in the entire Middle East. I'd like to see the Muslim world rise up en masse. I'd like to see them gutted and hanging from lampposts. From Baghdad to Riyadh, I'd like to see the extremists hung on lampposts. Then I'll believe. Then I, as an American, will believe. And you know what I'll believe? I'll believe there's a difference between the two. Not until then. Otherwise, until I see that day that they're strung up from lampposts, that they're lying to me, and that they're really secretly getting off on these murderers because they don't have the guts to do it themselves. Okay? That's what I'll believe in the heart of hearts. When I see them hanging from lampposts with their guts hanging out, then I'll believe that there's a difference between a radical Islam and the rest of Islam over there. But if I don't see that, if I don't see the massive uprising against them, I can only assume that they're the shock troops of all of Islam in the Middle East. How do you like that? That's my opinion. I'm not George Bush running for office, and this message was approved by Michael Savage. Boy, I'm really getting angrier by the minute. I thought I was going to have an easy day today. I am so fuming today. Start the day in a normal day. I had trouble getting up today, I'll be honest with you. Normally, I'm an early riser. Like I don't jump out of bed. Okay, let's not get carried away here. I'm not Mr. like cartoon, you know, hey, let's get up. It's like, all right, it's like the eyes open, and all right, here we are. It's another day, a very rational type of thing like that. But today, I couldn't get up. It was one of those, it's like one dream after another keeping me in that, you know, the womb of the bed. I didn't want to get out of bed, to be frank. I think that's what I'm saying. Then I went and had a rotten cup of coffee. I made it from a grinder. Well, actually, I didn't grind them. I've been buying this fake Hawaiian coffee that you open it up, and right away, it's a half a can in there. How do they get away with that? It's by weight only, but so make the can smaller. Why is when I open a coffee can, there's a half a can of coffee? Well, how do they get away with that? Oh, it's by the weight, by dry weight? So they give me a can and make it look like it's double? You know, you do that. You open it up, and all of a sudden, it goes whoosh, and you look in, and the top falls into half the can. So, A, I felt cheated. That was to start with. I mean, I've done it 100 times, the same can of garbage. Hawaiian blend. You know what a Hawaiian blend means? One bean, I think, came from Hawaii. The rest came from the bottom of the barrel. Tasteless. Tasteless. I drink coffee black. I don't like milk in it. I'm not into, like, leche. I'm not an infant, and I'm not a cow. So I don't drink leche. Leche is for, like, infants and cows. And if you're an infant, you should drink mother's milk, okay? And cow's milk is designed for cows, not for humans. I don't want to go into that. Secondly, I don't eat the mucus. I'm not into high colonic, so I don't eat the mucus. Hey, what is that high colonic? Did that thing die out, the high colonic? That was big in the 80s till I found out I don't want to go into that. That's scatological. Maybe there's a connection in what I'm saying. A lot of the freaks who were into high colonics in the 80s, you remember the whole hippie left-wing medical thing? They were always into like the high colonics. Does that have something to do with their politics today? There's got to be a connection between maybe the lack of high colonics in their old age and their extreme left-wing politics. And maybe if they were given a forced high colonic, they would become rational again and love America. Maybe we could impose high colonics on the left. That might solve the problem. Maybe a coffee enema would work. I don't know. We have to think about it. You think I'm joking with you? You know that there was one crazy wacko MD in the Bay Area who used to give coffee enemas? You can't believe that. I'm not trying to be dirty here. It was a medical office. He gave coffee enemas this whack job. They kicked him out. They pulled his license, and he went to Las Vegas where he practiced some off-brand of medicine over there. He's selling mummy dust. I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, the point is that when you had a whole generation given coffee enemas, and all of a sudden they were withdrawn from the coffee enema, maybe that made them look – maybe I have it wrong. It could be that it's not red diaper doper baby. Maybe it's red diaper enema baby. I'll have to think about it.
Savage.
Something funny happened the other day. I know I injured my left hand, or at least I thought I did, and I figured, it's nothing. You know, the thumb, the opposing thumb I was joking about. I know I strained it, I thought I did. But it's gotten, like, much worse. I'm saying, maybe it's not a strain, maybe it's this. The other day I went to the pistol range to requalify for my permit. And a funny thing happened. I shot a variety of handguns, including a beautiful weapon, a Smith & Wesson Magnolite. It's the lightest gun you've ever held in your hand. The five rounds weigh almost as much, if not more, than this gun. But the kick on it is pretty amazing. And, the instructor was great. He said, okay, stand in this stall. And he says, keep that gun down. He said, when I ask you to move over to this one, make believe a guy's coming at you with a knife, and just pick that gun up and fire with one hand repeatedly in the center of that target. Don't even do ready, aim, fire. You know, that kind of training, like police training. Well, I did that. It was like back and forth, that and an old Combat Commander 45, which is my favorite gun that I have since 1980. And then I bought a new gun, which I'm not thrilled with. It's not bad, but it's a double action. I'm not happy with it. It's a little too complicated because I'm used to the Colt 45. This is I forget the name of it. I'm confused right now with the name of the gun. But I don't like the complexity of the action on that gun. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous weapon, beautifully machined. It's German, quite expensive, but I prefer the other. but my hand that I shot with, I never had this happen before, is hurting me. So I'm saying, well, that's terrible. Just from shooting a gun, your hand hurts you like some old guy? Yeah, my hand's hurting me. So then that day I went out on the boat alone, 19-ton boat, which I can drive very well in a decent wind. I don't care. It's a power boat. I got a bow thruster. You can't do that. Don't go out on the boat. But meanwhile, coming back, I had to tie the thing down, as you do with boats. The same thing has been going on since Neolithic times, the way you always did boats, which is rope it to the dock after you get back. Nothing has changed. And I'm telling you, the hands are hurting me just from a simple act of firing a gun for an after morning and roping a boat in the afternoon. So I guess I'm feeling years, I guess is what I'm saying to you. That's all. And I'm a little distracted by it. And the reason I'm distracted by it is because I've always been obsessed with death and dying ever since I've been a little kid, because there was so much of it in my house and family and illness and fear that you kind of like grow up with it. And you some people live with, I found out some people don't even think about it at all. They don't ever think about it. I have always had death as my friend since I've been a little kid. He's walked with me, or she's walked with me, and we've walked a long road together. She's always been with me. I don't fear it. I don't welcome it, but it's there waiting. I mean, I understand that. You remember the teachings of Don Juan, those of you who were into drugs in the 60s and 70s? Remember that book? There was an amazing part of the teachings of Don Juan. There was a lot of wisdom in some of these books. They weren't all crazy in those days. And whoever wrote it, I forget who wrote it at the time. I really don't. He said that death is always with us and she's always waiting. Well, he was right, 100% right. And he said, you may as well get comfortable with it because it's been there from the time you were born. Well, that is true. Doesn't mean you have to reach out and embrace it, or you don't have to do the dance of death in order to go there faster. In fact, the opposite is true. According to my tradition and my people, is you reject death as long as you can. You don't do what the liberals do, which is look to embrace death. You never embrace death. But what I'm getting at is that, I'm feeling the time, that's all. So we have a caller now from Las Vegas who says he's going to heal my hand. Michael on K-Dawn, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on. I said a prayer to get through, and I'm amazed that I got through.
Well, all right. Now, what I see on the screen, it says healer wants to heal Savage by radio.
Right. Well, let me tell you what I do first, okay? I've been practicing energy healing and the laying on of hands for 22 years.
So, in other words, you're a hitman who kills people with your hand. I'm joking. So,
by the way,
you didn't laugh at the joke. Now I'm really worried.
No. No, I've been practicing, but the phenomenon.
All right. So, how are you going to heal me through the telephone, radio? You're going to heal my hands?
I will attempt to reach you, and I'll leave my number off the air with your producer. I'm not here to sell.
Do you think the big guy in the sky could be punishing me for touching myself too much when I was a kid?
No, you're being silly now, and I'm very, very serious. I'll tell you one thing I'm worried about because I listen to you. I don't agree with everything you say, but you are truly one of the most exciting talk show hosts in the world. This is true. However, you're stressing yourself out with the world events, but I know that's your job.
There's nothing new about that, Michael. I mean, to be fair to that particular point, I've been worried about world events since I'm a kid.
See, I teach healing.
Well, wait, now let me relate to this. Since you're a healer with energy, let me go back a long time. How does being 6 years old in the Bronx running down the street yelling, the world is coming to an end, the world is coming to an end, did that make me a psychotic?
Who am I to judge your mental state? I can't do that.
Well, I don't know. If I'm a psychotic, I've done pretty well. I fooled a lot of people for a very long period of time, wrote a lot of books, got a PhD, 2 master's degrees, have a family. So in other words, what is psychosis? Psychosis is people who don't realize they may be crazy.
We're all a little crazy. Well, listen, I used to be a singer.
No, but what I'm saying is, the point of that story is that at 6 years old, I was freaked out by what was going on in the world. This was right around the time of the dropping of the nuclear weapons on Japan. I was too young for that, but I saw the hydrogen bomb evolve. I mean, I looked ahead and said, the world is coming to an end. Naturally, the working class people, the immigrants' children, thought I was pretty crazy to say that as a young boy. So what I'm getting at is I've been doing it all my life. It hasn't killed me yet. How are you going to heal me?
I don't want it to kill you. We need you out there, and you're doing a remarkable job. Like I said, I don't agree with everything you say. I won't go into that. That's not why I called you. I called you to try to help you. Now, there's only one thing I'm really concerned about, and that's when I attempt to bring you to me. This is how I work. I go in an altered state and I will you to me. I've had great success. In fact, they're writing a book about my work called The Healing Mind, A True Story, with true documentations.
Very, very difficult with me. I don't let anyone will me to them.
Well, me, no. I have to pretend you're here in my mind.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, go ahead. Go for it. Go
right
ahead.
Now, stop. I know the color of your hair.
What color is my hair?
Michael, I have no idea. You have to tell me the color of your hair. I've seen you on television, so I have a vague picture of what you look like. I just.
Right, I'll tell you what, instead of me doing it piecemeal, give me the whole list so I can decide what to give you in what order.
I need the color of your hair, your eyes, small, medium, or large build. That's all I need.
No, I can't do that on the radio. I think it's too risky. I think there are too many truly crazy people out there, Michael, to transmit this personal information, which is not that hard to figure out, through other means, through the electronic media. I think it's asking for trouble. I think you can understand that.
Completely understand it.
But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because I'll show you that I'm open to things. Leave your email address. I will get in touch with you. How's that?
You would, and I'm going to give your producer my phone number, because off the air I'm going to be home. I'll give him my home phone. I have a phone healing coming in from Florida in 15 minutes.
All right. Stay on the line. Get Michael's phone number and never put a remote healer on.
Savage.
You know, when you talk about the enemy within, one could draw a very good comparison to the HIV virus, where a foreign virus invades a body and literally takes over a defense cell and duplicates itself inside the defense cell, and so then kills the body by destroying its ability to defend itself. It's almost identical to the Madeleine Albrights, who are now running around acting like they're our friends when in fact they're working for the enemy. So let's go to health for a minute. Of course, I talk every day about the health of a nation, but let's talk about the health of a body. Here's what Mark Twain said in Letters from the Earth. Disease, that is the main force, the diligent force, the devastating force. It attacks the infant the moment it is born. It furnishes it one malady after another, croup, measles, mumps, bowel troubles, teething pains, scarlet fever, and other childhood specialties. It chases the child into youth and furnishes it some specialties for that time of life. It chases the youth into maturity, maturity into age, and age into the grave. Mark Twain. And now I want to read you just one little entry that I wrote back in when it was published in 82 in Healing Children Naturally by yours truly on page 142 under chocolate. Now just listen to this, because many of you are chocolateholics and you've been told that chocolate's good. It contains antioxidants. I can eat more chocolate. And I can even give it to Johnny in the morning. Let's give him some cocoa. That's what good old Doc Brown told me. Pay no attention to those quacks in the nutrition field. Give Johnny anything he wants to eat, because here's this little shiny pill called Ritalin. We call it medication, not a pill. And that medication will keep Johnny real, real stable. So here's what I wrote. Chocolate comes from the cacao tree, an evergreen of the Coca-Cola family. It does not contain caffeine, but it does contain another stimulant, theobromine, which has effects quite similar to those of caffeine. When used to make cocoa, the amount of theobromine present would be comparable to the caffeine in a cup of weak coffee or tea, approximately 30 milligrams. Of course, chocolate is also a saturated fat and high in calories, and when used in cocoa, it is usually sweetened with sugar. Now listen to the following few sentences, please. Copper is also abundant in chocolate and must be avoided by hyperactive children, who often have low zinc and high copper levels. For the same reasons, we in the Savage home never use cocoa or hot chocolate for our children. They may seem innocent enough, but in fact are great nutritional time bombs filled with sucrose, bleaches, copper, artificial flavorings, and excess calories. Stick to warm milk flavored with carob powder and sweetened with honey, which makes a fine bedtime drink. Now, I've given you a lot of information there. I'm sure that the oafs in the media will say, oh, Bashaw, you give that child cocoa. Never mind what anyone says. After all, I went to high school, and I know about golf. What are you? Oh, you give him meat, and you give him chocolate. You give him whatever medication that good old doctor has you give him, because those doctors have the interests of your child at heart. And they know, all of them know, what good medication is. Well, it's identical to the political situation. You're going to believe in Dr. Baker? Dr. Baker has just given you a recipe for destroying the nation. That's what old Dr. James Baker has just prescribed. He may look like the doctor of yesteryear. You know, after all, he speaks like the old, good old American doctors. Tall, good-looking, speaks with a nice southern drawl, comes from a good law firm, great family. Well, he reminds me of the doctors that used to advertise Chesterfield cigarettes in the magazines of the 1930s. Exactly the same thing. They would have doctors say that I smoke Chesterfield for health because it's good for the T-zone. They were doctors, too. Well, now we have political doctors who are just like that doctor who used to sell Chesterfield. And the case before you is good old Dr. Baker. So if I've gone a little off topic, I've gone right back to topic because that's how I do it. And that's the test of a good mind, is the ability to go far afield and come right back to the point that he's been trying to make all along. Now, I know if I keep up this health stuff, what's going to happen. I'll get a call. I'll say, Mike, I'm like that guy, that woman on the plane that had to bring matches on the plane the other day for flatulence. Mike, I asked, is there something I could take for so I don't have to take 10 books of matches on my next flight to Miami, Mike? What can I eat? Mike, while you're at on the thing for the matches, for the flatulence on the plane, can you give me something to make the down south part stand a little north? Point north like a compass needle, Mike. I don't want to like that Viagra stuff. It gives me a headache and I see blue. And while you're at it, Mike, I'm going to get the same thing. I don't want to do health. Please, no health cures. Maine, Susie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just have a really quick question for you. I have a 16-year-old son. He goes to the gym two or three times a week, but he is overweight. I've decided to take him to a nutritionist, and I just want to know what your opinion of nutritionists are. Are they helpful? Can they make a difference?
Most of them are quacks, uneducated adults who know nothing. They have no credentials whatsoever, but they are selling you a bill of goods based on other people's work. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't an occasional nutritionist with real training and a real degree and really understand what they're talking about, but a lot of them are in it and don't really know what they're talking about. You have to look at their education. You have to look at their experience. You have to look at their certifications. Now, you may say, well, I'll go to an RD. They're even worse. The research dietitian degree is a complete reflection of the AMA principles of diet, which are totally toxic and know nothing about curing people through food. So I don't know what to recommend. Well, I do know what to recommend, actually. I would recommend that you go to a medical doctor who has a subspecialty in nutrition. That would be what I would recommend. There are some very good doctors around who have spent a lot of years studying nutrition, and that's where I would take my son. As far as weight loss, I mean, there's no mystery to it. You know, it takes self-control, and it takes controlling the diet. I don't know what you need to go to a doctor for that for. Do you?
No, actually, his medical doctor did recommend this nutritionist to him, so I think
Well, so you're working with a medical doctor who probably hasn't, but the problem is, who is the nutritionist? A lot of them are self-taught. They read three articles in Cosmopolitan, and suddenly they're a nutritionist, so you got to look into that. Thanks for the call. I have a show that could be called How Not to Make Friends and Influence People. But you got to think about it. How did people survive for eons without nutritionists? How did people survive for eons without going to these quacks and taking a Ritalin? How did your great-grandfather survive? How did they survive the Middle Ages eating shoe leather and they were still able to read and write? How is that possible that Western civilization was built before Ritalin was discovered by the quack establishment called the pharmaceutical medical establishment? How is it possible? There must have been people who were hyperactive then. There must have been. How did they deal with it? Everybody knows people like that. They didn't need drugs. They walked a lot. They talked a lot. But they somehow got through life without having to take a drug to turn it into a zombie. 1-800-449-8255. It's the parents who are behind ADHD. They're lazy and they're feeding the child junk food. 90% of the ADHD cases can be cured if the parents were educated as to how they're poisoning their child, number one, and how they're being lazy and not feeding the child properly. Much of this information is well established. It's been lost because the pharmaceutical and medical establishments want you to lose it, just as the political establishment wants you to forget history in order to manipulate you. It's the same exact thing. It's called the establishment. They control everything. Now, if you look at the control of the media by the few madmen who control it all, you'll find out, unfortunately, they also control the educational establishment through boards that they sit on. They also control the pharmaceutical establishment through boards. They sit on multiple boards. So the same power-mad lunatic who runs the media that tells you things about food that are untrue and tells you things about politics that are patently false, will also be peddling you drugs that are unnecessary and peddling you diets that are clearly harmful. That's called interlocking corporate directorships. Check it out. It was once well established and well understood that interlocking corporate directorships would ultimately lead to the demise of the American. They were 100% right, and we're living through it now. I'm getting the calls right now, and I'll do them. Actually, this is fun. Beverly in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to ask you a question. Number one, can we still get that book about healing children?
Is there... You know, it's an interesting question. I had a publisher a couple of years ago wanting to reprint the book. And I told them I'd have to revise it. I didn't have the time to revise it. But now that I found the copy, I have it in my hand here, I think I'm going to spend a little time on it and revise it and put it out for the people. I'm not going to make any money on it. But I think it's so good. It is such a like an encyclopedia of great information. It should not be lost. It has a diet for prospective parents. In other words, you know that a lot of couples don't even understand that they have to think about diet while they're attempting conception. Did you know that as well?
That lady probably gave her son a donut for breakfast. I could probably
a donut, probably, and a cup of cocoa.
Ask you something, Dr. Savage.
Do you know that cancer is a leading cause of children's death? Did you know that? Did you know that one of the most suppressed statistics of our time is that more children under the age of 15 die of cancer, including leukemia, than of any other cause aside from accidents? Do you know why we don't hear about children dying of cancer? Do you know why we don't see children who are bald in the back rooms of hospitals? Because the AIDS racketeers have knocked up the entire sympathy racket. You are only allowed to hear about AIDS and the suffering of AIDS and relationship to AIDS and only AIDS victims and AIDS this and AIDS that. And the children are left behind dying in the back rooms of the hospitals because they don't have a voice to speak for them. That's one of the reasons I wrote this book.
What can women do for PMS? I went to a doctor.
Oh, boy, did you open up a very, very tragic subject, because there are things you can do, but I'm not about to give you medical information on this show at this time. I really only wanted to bring up this book because the ADHD came up as a break from the political discussion. But there are many things you can do for PMS. And I think, truthfully, and this is not a bad idea, if you go to one of these mega health food operations around, you know, like Whole Foods kind of thing, is there one near you?
Yes, sir. And I take a lot of vitamins and I eat salmon.
No, but listen to me. If you go there, you know, you can get an education unto itself. Now, some of it's quackery and some of it's hucksterism. But some of what you're going to read in some of those brochures is worth thinking about. I'll tell you where I'd begin today, Beverly, with anything. The internet has become the great unifier of knowledge. Some of it's junk, but some of it's excellent. I would simply do a search on the PMS and health, and I would read as much as I could, and I would sift and I would sort, but I'm not going to give any advice today on this subject.
Savage.